Come on. Do you like all that?
Yeah.
All
that's
true.
Good.
All true. Come on, put your hands together. Let's welcome our pastor back tonight. All right.
All right. Okay, so yeah, I usually preach to the youth, so if we could keep some of this youth excitement going, right? We like that. Yeah, so welcome to Move tonight. I hope you guys showed up. Y'all want to play a game? Well, just like I do in youth, I ask that question, and I don't really have one, so it's okay. I don't come up with them anymore. Somebody else took that over, and it's going to be awesome. Yeah, no. We're not doing any of that. Not tonight. But just so you know, a little bit about me. Most of you, I think just about everybody knows me. They know who I am. But so one of the things that kind of, just so we can understand, is that I grew up in church. Like, I've always been around church. It's just been a part of who I am. And so I know that not everybody has that. But if you've either grown up in church or, like, you've been a part of a church now for, you would consider, a long time, why don't you just raise your hand really quick. Okay, so you are the people I want to talk to first. You better buckle up. It's going to be fun. All right, y'all ready? Man, I don't know about you guys, but I love Wednesday night. So, like, I talk about excitement with the youth, but, like, it's because I get to come here in the middle of the week, and it doesn't matter what the week has been like. This is a time where we get to come together as a family, and we just connect with Jesus. And so you can get whatever you need, whatever you're missing. It's going to be here tonight. So I hope you are expecting something. And so I want to open up with some scripture. So, like I said, you're going to have to buckle up with me. If you've been in here for a long time, it's okay. It's going to be good. This will probably be the fastest 3 hours of your life because Jesus is going to be here. So let's go ahead and we're going to read some of the word, right? It's a good thing to do. So if you'll join me in Ezekiel chapter 37, I'm going to read out of the Message, and it's going to magically appear behind me due to technology and in front of me. Yeah, so I can see it there. So I don't even need this. Cool. All right. So y'all ready for this? Okay. We got a little bit of scripture to read, so just like the youth, I'm going to ask you to pay attention. I'm going to ask you to read this with me because this is God's word, and so let's just get into it. It says, God grabbed me. God's spirit took me up and set me down in the middle of an open plain strewn with bones. He led me around and among them, a lot of bones. There were bones all over the plain, dry bones bleached by the sun. He said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? I said, Master God, only you know that. He said to me, prophesy over these bones. Dry bones, listen to the message of God. God the Master told the dry bones, watch this. I'm bringing the breath of life to you and you'll come to life. I'll attach sinews to you, put meat on your bones, cover you with skin and breathe life into you. You'll come alive and you'll realize that I am God. I prophesied just as I had been commanded. As I prophesied, there was a sound and rustling. The bones moved and came together, bone to bone. I kept watching. Sinews formed, then muscles on the bones, then skin stretched over them, but they had no breath in them. Here's where God steps in. He said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man. Tell the breath, God, the Master says, come from the four winds. Come, breath, breathe on these slain bodies. Breathe life. So I prophesied just as he commanded me. The breath entered them. And they came alive. They stood on their feet, a huge army. Amen. So tonight, what we're going to talk about is unleashing revival. Come on. So what a good set of scripture to do that with. Unleashing revival. Yeah. Y'all look excited to unleash revival. Everybody, yeah, okay. Yeah, you better get excited. I'm telling you, man, God has been preaching this thing to me over and over for about the last month. So 3 hours would be good. I'm going to hurry, I think. So let's pray really quick. While we let this scripture just soak in. Father, we just thank you that you're already in this place. We thank you that your word comes alive in us. Father, I pray that tonight your word would grab us and take a hold to us, and it would take us to a place where we can understand who you are. And so, Father, right now, I just ask that everything that we do is all to glorify, honor, and to lift up your name. Jesus, we just praise you, and we thank you for what you're going to do in our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I have a question. And my question for you tonight would be, how many of you have been looking for revival? Anybody been looking for revival? I got a few tips. You ready? For some keys to revival, how to unleash your revival. The first thing, you ready? Quit looking. You don't look for revival. as if God forgot where he put revival. Like, you're helping God look for this thing, right? Like, I'm looking for revival. I don't think God has ever said, I'm trying to get you to find revival because I can't remember where I put it. Because we look for revival. Like, where's it going to come from? It's going to come from here. It's going to come from there. We want to see it happen. But all we're ever doing is looking for it. God's not asking you to look for revival. You don't look for revival. It doesn't happen on accident. It's not something that God's doing and then people find it and they step into it and then it works. That's not how revival works. Revival starts with you. And sometimes I think we have a misconception of revival. Like I said, I grew up in church. I'm going to be honest. I've been to a lot of revival services that were basically just another church service. Just because you're having church doesn't mean there's a revival happening. If there's nothing happening on the inside of you and you're just sitting in a chair, you're just coming to a place, then you are missing the point. You are watching things happen. If you take this back to the Israelites, they walked around the desert for 40 years and waited long enough for an entire generation to die out and never see the promised land because they never could get to the place where they weren't just looking for it. They didn't understand what God actually wanted from them. They didn't understand that God wanted their heart. They could not enter the promised land for 40 years, even though it was prophesied, even though it was promised to them. They could not enter. And the thing about revival, sometimes we think that revival means that there's going to be this just mass gathering at the church, and people are going to get saved. Well, that's awesome. But that's not revival. That's a product of revival. People coming to know Jesus is a product of revival. If it was about reaching the lost, it would just be called vival. There would be no revival. You understand what I'm saying? It's called revival. When you are revived, that means that you had life, you didn't, and then you did again. Right? Does that make sense? It's not the same thing as being born. When you're born, you're given life. That's it. A revival means that you were born, you died, and then you were brought back. Right? That makes sense? So if it's a revival, that means it's got to start with you. It has to start with you. It's not about somebody else going to make it happen and then everybody's just going to join in. It has to start with you. If we want to see revival, how about we make revival? You are where revival begins. You have to start it. It's something you have to do. It's revival. That's something happening. That is a happening, not just a mind frame, not just something that you think about or look for. It is something that is happening, and you have to become a part of it. Revival starts with the Christians. They say, you know what? I've seen enough. I've looked for God enough. I know who He is, and I want to see revival. And I think a lot of times we get right there on the edge of it, but we don't keep pushing. But if you go back to our scripture in Ezekiel, so the first thing you got to notice is it says that God grabbed me. I use that translation because it was so like, it's so physical for me that you can, when it says God grabbed me and His Spirit took me away, it's almost like you can feel, like you can see it in your mind. I don't know how you guys read scripture or anything, but when I read it, I start to see it like as if I can kind of understand it. I see what I think would be happening. So God grabbed him, took him to a different place. Now, I don't know if He actually physically moved him or not, but He changed whatever he was looking at. He changed his perspective. He changed what Ezekiel was seeing, and He showed Ezekiel some bones, and He said, hey, can they live again? And I think Ezekiel, like most prophets or people in the Bible or people that know a little bit about God, instead of just answering really quick, well, let's put it back on God. Well, you know, God, you know, yeah, only you know. What would you want me to say to him? And it's crazy to think about that. But if you look at this story, and you can take this story in all kinds of different ways, because the Word of God is alive and it should mean something to you every time. But it says God is talking to him, and then He tells him to speak to the bones. Right? Now, if you read Ezekiel, this is probably one of the least crazy things that he does, or that God shows him. I mean, seriously, Ezekiel is weird. If you want to read a weird book in the Bible, read Ezekiel. You won't even know what he's talking about. But he didn't either, so it's okay. It was things God was showing him. I mean, think about it. When God shows you things, It's God things. So sometimes it's beyond your comprehension. You may not understand in the moment. It may not make sense to you, but that doesn't make it not important. That doesn't mean that you shouldn't find a way to remember it. Write it down. It says to write down the vision. Well, the vision is something you see. So you don't forget it. Write it down. Make it plain so that people can read it, and then they will move towards the vision. That's what the word says. So that's what Ezekiel did. And he said, prophesy to these bones. And most of the time, we kind of take it as like this really like powerful thing that happened to Ezekiel. And he prophesies over these bones. But again, this is a vision. God takes him there and he shows it to him. There's no one else there. And sometimes we think that God wants us to do some crazy things, like talk to some bones. I've never had God take me to a cemetery. I'm just saying, I've never had God take me to a cemetery and say, all right, you talk to Ethel over there. I mean, it would be weird, right? And our first instinct would be, no. They're dead. I'm not doing it. But here's what God showed me. If you won't do it when there's not another living soul to see you do it, will you do it when people are watching you? Will you do what God asked you to do in front of people who might, you would think, judge you, who might have something to say about it? What if it doesn't happen? Well, if it doesn't happen, then they're going to think this and they're going to think that. Well, in your own time with God, when's the last time God grabbed you and took you away, gave you a vision of what he wants you to do, allowed you time to practice for you to unleash revival? Because this is a thing that needs to happen. It's not just something that we talk about. I don't think God does anything by accident. And I don't know if it's just because I've been preparing for this message, but this kind of topic and unleashing revival and this stirring has been happening for a long time. I don't think it's on accident that God wants to unleash something in your life. Because if you think about unleashing revival, I was going to call it unlocking revival, but it didn't really work the same. When you unleash something, it means that you had it all the time. You just were holding it back. You were holding it back. When you unleash it, you let it go and you let it do exactly what it was supposed to do. It's like a dog. Like if you have a dog that's made to chase ducks, that's what they do. When there's a duck to be chased, that's what they're going to do. But if you don't let that dog go, it'll never go and do what it was supposed to do. There's a revival that's been placed on the inside of you. But if you don't ever actually unleash it, you'll never go and do what you're supposed to do with it. It's not about God. I'm waiting on God to do it. God's going to do it and then I'll be there. I don't want to be a generation that had to wait on somebody else. Amen. I don't want to be the group of people that said, you know what? We saw God was doing something and we just waited for him. And we're just going to keep on waiting until he decides to do whatever he's going to do. Sometimes we can actually learn, I think, from the younger people in the room, the youth. So last week, I don't know, those of you that aren't in youth, the last week of the month, we usually have a thing called small groups where we break up the high school and junior high, and we basically allow them a time to ask questions that they may have about the Bible. Because sometimes we don't quite understand think about it. When you're growing up, like, what does the Bible say about this? Well, I wanted that to be a time where they can ask whatever. And I'm just going to tell you that I've been working with your junior high kids doing that. They understand some things that we don't even think that they could understand, or some things possibly that we don't understand. So one of their questions actually led to part of what I was talking about, and I told them they'd hear it again, so here we go. So sometimes when we start talking about revival, we don't understand. And I kind of was asking the Holy Spirit a while back, I was like, what is revival? Like, what is it? Like, I know we're talking about it. It's a thing that you do, being revived. You were dead, now you're alive. Like, but what is it? And this is what he told me, and he had to kind of break it down. And it took a little while because I didn't quite understand either. But the Holy Spirit told me this, and I'd like for you to just pay attention because it's going to make sense, and then it won't, and then it'll make sense again, I think. But here it is. So this is what he told me. I said, so what is revival? And he said this, revival is a righteous response to conviction. That's all it is. It's a righteous response to conviction. Which is weird. So they actually were talking about conviction and condemnation and things like that. They weren't necessarily using those words, but that's what they were asking about on Wednesday. And we do, I think, as church people, use that word and we kind of hope that everybody knows what it means. But for some people, it means a different thing. Condemnation and conviction are not the same. When you are condemned, it means that there is like this it comes on you almost like shame and guilt, and you want to hide. But that's not conviction. And really, to understand conviction, I had to ask myself, where else do we use the term conviction? Anybody want to take a guess? Huh? Jail. If you're convicted of a crime, that means that you are found guilty. Right? That means that you are found guilty. So we can wrap our heads around that, right? If somebody is found guilty of a crime, they have to go to jail or whatever the consequence is. They're responsible for their actions, right? And we get that. That makes sense. But whenever we come to church and we think about conviction, all of a sudden it's this bad thing. Well, you have to understand. Let's take it to the jail mindset. Let's take it to the extreme. Let's say that you did something so bad that you were supposed to be put to death. Conviction falls, and that means that you are found guilty and you are sentenced. Meaning that's what happens. The reason why Christians get this so twisted is it's an attack of the enemy. He wants you to feel condemned because conviction already fell at the cross. Jesus was found guilty for the crime, and he said, I will take the penalty. I will take the death penalty. I will pay it for you. He was convicted. Your conviction doesn't mean that you have to hide. Your conviction makes you glad because you now remember, I have a chance to live because he already paid it. He already took the death penalty. My conviction is that now I was dead, now I am alive. Now I have the chance to do something. You don't see someone take over for someone that was supposed to have the death penalty and they're upset about it. No, I want to do it. I mean, think about it. If people are criminals, that means they usually don't think logically, but given the opportunity to get out, I think they would. Nobody wants to get caught. Nobody wants to get caught. So given the choice, yes, if he's going to die for me, let him die. And the crazy thing is that he did it anyways. He did it anyways. He said, you know what? I'll take that. You were guilty, but I'm going to take it. Conviction falls on me. So conviction should never push you away from the cross. You have to understand that the cross is the place where conviction fell on Jesus. He was guilty for your sin, not you. So what are you going to do about it? How are you going to live? There has to be some kind of action behind that. Because if you never do anything with it, then you died anyways. Then you died anyways. And sometimes we think, well, I'm just not good enough. It doesn't matter. He died anyways. He did it anyways, and he gave you the choice. So we look at salvation sometimes kind of weird, and it's this choice. And it is a choice. It's because it's already been paid for. Are you going to let him pay for it? Or are you still going to decide, no, I want to do it? Because the only price is death. The wages of sin is death. God took care of it. So when you understand conviction, now you understand, I've been given life. I've been revived. So how do I unleash that? It's time to unleash revival. Right? Y'all with me so far? I'm talking kind of fast. I'm sorry. I'm kind of excited. I'm pretty excited. So conviction drives you to the cross, not away from it. I know I've said that already, but seriously, that's the thing that gets twisted in people's minds when we start talking about Jesus and what he did for us. We start to feel bad of the things that we've done. And he says, no, I don't want you to feel bad. Just come to the cross and you'll see I took care of it. Come to the cross, you'll see it's already taken care of. It's done. And when you get to the cross, he doesn't even know that you did it. He doesn't see your faults. He sees you as someone who said yes to Jesus and is covered by the blood. The lamb already died, already took the place. There is no payment for you if you let him take it. So then what do you do with that? So I'm going to challenge you about revival. Again, it's something that you do. It's not something that you find on accident. It's not something that you're looking for. You make revival. Revival happens when you let it out, when you let Jesus out, when you understand who he is to you. That's when it happens. But the scale of your revival, y'all listening? You ready? The scale of your revival will only be as big as the revelation of who Jesus is to you. If you don't understand Jesus, your revival can't go there. Then you are just waiting on someone else to do it because you don't understand who he is. Revival is saying, I understand who Jesus is to me, and I want you to know him. Let me give you a practical example. Anybody ever bought a vehicle? Anybody ever bought a used vehicle? Yeah? Okay. So, You might have bought a vehicle, right? If you bought a vehicle and you were driving it and someone else was looking at possibly driving that vehicle, and let's say that you've been driving that vehicle for a long time. You fell in love with it. You absolutely love it. And somebody says, hey, why do you drive this vehicle? It would be, I'm going to say, stupid for you to look them in the eye and say, I don't really know. You should probably go talk to the car salesman. Right? Like, you're driving it. You love this thing. Why do you love it? Well, I don't know. I can't really tell you. I don't really understand. But you drive this car. Yep. Do you drive it every day? Sure do. Do you like it? Yep. What do you like about it? I don't know. Go ask Jimmy. He sold it to me. Well, why do you drive it? I don't know. Jimmy sold it to me. Think about it. Like, it's silly, right? But then when somebody says, well, why do you love Jesus? I don't know. You got to come to church. I'm just saying. I don't know. You should come to church with me. The pastor will tell you. He knows. I don't know. We can sell a car, but we can't sell Jesus. Come on. You can sell a car because you know about it. You drive it every day, so you know the ins and outs. You might be driving a car for months, and then you figure out, oh, hey, I didn't know it did that. Some of us have been driving Jesus for years and don't even know what he does. Woo! Come on now. I'm just saying. I told you we were going to have fun. I told you to strap in. It's going to be a ride. But I'm serious. It would be stupid of you to say, I don't know. I don't know how to drive this car. I don't know what it does. I don't even know what brand it is. I don't understand. The car salesman, he told me to do it, so I did. Yeah. Then you didn't buy a car. He did. It's a good deal. Then you didn't buy a car. He did. But we take that to church, and people are like, why do you love Jesus? I don't really know. I'm not good enough. I don't know. But seriously, I mean, that's what we do. I'm not really good enough. No, you weren't. But it's already paid for. It's already taken care of. He said, you know what? You're not enough, but it's okay. I got it. Yeah. I got it. You don't have to pay anything. It's not that you just couldn't afford it and I'm helping you out. I've taken the death penalty and you owe nothing. Yeah. You owe nothing. Yeah. You owe nothing. So unleashing revival. Unleashing revival. You guys with me so far? Y'all having fun? Yeah? Yeah. So Ezekiel talking to the bones. And I don't know about you guys, but when I read this, especially in the message, just I really like the way it puts it in the message. It's almost like you can feel what Ezekiel feels. And God told him, look, you're going to say this. And then they said it. Right? That's what happened. He said, God said, say this. And then Ezekiel said what God told him to say. It wasn't about Ezekiel. It's not about you. It's not about you. It's not about any person that can do anything. It's about the one person who did it all. It's about Jesus. And when you understand that and you realize, I don't have to be good enough. I don't have to be a Bible scholar. I don't have to go to Bible college. I don't have to know every verse memorized in the back of my head for Jesus to show up. You just have to understand and know that Jesus took it all and gave it to you. So what are you going to do with it? You can't unleash more revival than the Jesus that you understand. So you have to find a revelation of who Jesus is to you. This is so much deeper than just an event. You can host an event and God not be part of it. But when you are listening to the Holy Spirit and you are doing what God has called you to do, there's an anointing that comes over you that will attract people because they see that you're different and they see that it works. Go back to the car analogy. If you're driving a car that you're always fixing, nobody that knows you is buying that car. But we go to church all broken and beat down every week. Unleash it inside of you. This is not the place that spawns revival. You are. You bring it to church. It's not Pastor Paul's job. It's not the church's job. This can be a place where you spawn revival. This can be the place that'll hold it if you understand what the Spirit of God is doing and you allow Him to do it through you. It's not about this building. It's not about church leadership. Well, I'm just waiting on the church. Well, good. You can keep waiting. You'll be like the Israelites that died out in that generation circling the desert. I'm just hoping to see it. Well, you can keep on hoping, but until you do something, you ain't seeing it. And I don't want to just see it. I don't want to see revival. I want to participate in revival. It's not enough just to see it and say, man, that was cool what God did over there. I wonder when he's going to show up here. And I've thought that way. Like, I'm not just saying that if you've ever thought that, that's the wrong mindset. It is the wrong mindset, but it's okay. It's okay. I've thought that. I've seen places where God's just taken off, and it's like, well, how do we do that here? And it's like, we need a certain thing. Like, we got to do exactly what they did. Let's go back to the car thing. Why? I don't know. It just works. We don't all drive the same car. We don't. But your car gets you places. It takes you where you want to go. But your car is your car. Yes, you can let somebody else borrow it. If I asked Pastor Paul if I could borrow his truck, he might let me. Even if he does, that doesn't make it my truck. That's Pastor Paul's truck that I am using for now, right? So just because it works for somebody else, just because somebody else has figured out how to do it, doesn't mean you can copy what they did and do it. Your car is different from somebody else's car, even though it serves the same purpose. Your Jesus will be a little different than somebody else's Jesus because he's relatable to you. He relates to you as an individual. So you take your Jesus and you just unleash that on everybody. It doesn't have to be cookie cutter. That's the whole point of the scripture being alive and God breathed and sharper than any two-edged sword, because it cuts in your heart and it divides things and it makes you make a decision. Do I agree with God or do I not? In this decision. So only when you're faced with that decision do you see that Jesus. Does that make sense? Yeah. Just because you're going to the same place, we didn't all ride in the same car. Jesus is going to show up when you allow him to, but you have to allow him. You have to unleash it. You bring it with him. It says, where any two or more are gathered in my name, there I'll be. Does that mean that God's going to leave you alone? No. But when you start showing people who Jesus is to you, then people attach to Jesus, and it's not about you. It's not about you. You don't have to sell it. You just live. Yeah. And people realize that's real. Yeah. That's real. Yeah. There's something inside them that I need. They are alive. I feel like I haven't been living. How do I get what they had? You get a revelation of who Jesus is. You dig into his word. Revival, again, doesn't happen on accident. You don't stumble upon revival and then dig into the word. It doesn't work that way. And we've been trying to be lazy Christians for a long time. I want to see revival, but I don't want to do the work. I want to see revival, but I don't want to read the word. I want to see revival, but I won't pray. I want to see revival, but you have to do it because I don't even believe that he can. You have to do it. You won't see revival that way. You have to unleash revival inside of you. It has to come alive. Jump off the page. Get into your heart. And you have to practice it. Maybe God is telling you to do something that seems a little crazy. Go to the cemetery and talk to some bones. I'm telling you, most of us would probably say no. But if Ezekiel hadn't done that, I don't think he would have heard from God again. Because if you can't be obedient, then God's going to find somebody who will. Because somebody is going to say yes. Somebody wants revival. Somebody wants to unleash it. Somebody wants to unlock it. It might as well be you. It might as well be you. And so I'm not screaming at you. I'm trying to scream with you, but y'all just aren't screaming. I don't know. I'm trying to get this inside of you. I'm trying to get you excited to realize that revival starts with you. It doesn't take a pastor. It doesn't take an evangelist. It doesn't take somebody special coming in and just because they carry the anointing, oh, they're coming in, so it's going to be awesome. No, Jesus is going to show up because they understand that where they go, he goes. That can be you on Monday. It don't have to be Wednesday or Sunday at a church. That could be you on Monday because you're there. God says, you know what? I'm going to go with you. And better than that, I'm going to go before you. I'm going to prepare it. You walk and I will guide your steps because you are listening to my voice. And then revival happens. Why? Because you just listen to God and it makes it so much easier. The first time is the hardest. God, that's weird. Nobody, in case you didn't know, nobody really wants to get in front of a bunch of people and start telling them things that God told them all the time, except for us weird people. We love it. If you're called to pastor, you just love it. It's one of the things that you enjoy. But public speaking is the number one fear in the world. Nobody wants to get up and understand that they are responsible for what they say. Nobody wants to do that. But if somebody doesn't, then nobody does. Somebody's got to. Somebody's got to. So you should preach every day. You don't have to say anything. How do you act? How do you act? How do you act when it's just you and God? How do you act when you're at work? How do you act when you're with your friends? How do you act? How do you act when you're not at church? Because if church you and every other day you is not the same, then your revival is going to look real weird. It's going to look real weird. It'll probably look a lot less like Jesus and a lot more like something that's not. But we want to see revival. God, I give you 2 hours a week looking for revival. And church was good. I checked in today at the church. It's Sunday. I posted it on Facebook. I don't typically do that. God's going to do something. Yeah. I shared it. Okay. What'd you learn? Like kids at Sunday school, what'd you learn at church? I don't know. Oh, no. What'd you learn? Jesus, yeah, God, bones. Yeah. Oh, cars. Yeah, we talked about cars. Yeah, it was cool. You should have been there. No. What are you doing? It doesn't even have to be necessarily about the message that was preached. When you hear the word of God, something should spark inside of you. Something should spark inside of you. Different parts of different messages will jump out at different people. Why? Because God wants to speak to you. He wants to relate to you. So when he speaks to you and it jumps out at you, take that to somebody and they say, you know, how was your week? Well, let me tell you something. Let me tell you what God told me this week. Let me tell you what he showed me. Let me show you what he told me. It's not complicated. It just takes work. And we don't want to do it most of the time. It's not complicated. God's not asking you to do something that you can't do. And if he is, that means he's fixing to show up and do something that you can't do. How exciting is that? Right? If he shows up and does something you can't do, I promise you, you're not going to be like, cool. Which is how we treat church. Oh, that's cool. It's cool. No, God showed up. He should do something amazing. Why? Because he is not explainable. He's supernatural. He's going to do things that people said that's impossible. No, that's God. Amen. That's a miracle. You're right. And that was God. Yeah. Well, that's a miracle. Yeah. Well, that happened again. Yeah. Because God's here every single time. It shouldn't be something out of the ordinary. It should be something that you look forward to. You need to come to church with me. Why? Because you're going to see something that doesn't happen. It's impossible. Yes. What? We'll go to magic shows because things happen there that are entirely possible. They just trick us. Won't come to church, though, because what if God does the impossible? It's not magic. It's God. And sometimes we think about God, we also get stuck in this, I have to understand everything he's telling me. If you could understand everything that God was telling you, you'd be God. He is beyond comprehension. His word says, I'll give you above what you could ask, what you could think or even imagine. Why? Because I'm so much bigger than that. I'm so much higher than that. Take it to the next level. Once you understand one thing, then you can understand the next thing. Unleash revival in your world. What does that mean? God's going to change you. He's not looking for a whole group of people to be the pastor of a church somewhere. Revival starting with you doesn't mean that you have to be the one speaking. Revival starting with you just means I understand who Jesus is and I see that person struggling. I've been there. I know how to get them out. Yes. I'll be there every time because Jesus showed me how. The love of God. Nobody's going to follow you if they don't even think that you like people. You have to love God. When you love God and you love people like God does, God can then start using you in ways that you didn't even ask, think, or imagine. And it's going to happen naturally. Why? Because it's what you were created to do. He placed it inside of you at the cross. When Jesus died, the last thing he said was, it is finished. What does that mean? It means the revival in you is already complete. You just haven't used it yet. You just haven't unleashed it yet. It's already placed there because then his spirit was allowed to become us. When we accept Jesus, we accept the spirit. Jesus said that we would do greater things. When's the last time you asked for a greater thing? When's the last time you asked for a miracle? When's the last time you on purpose put yourself in a position where God had to show up? Because accidental stuff happens sometimes. People come up to you, hey, can you pray for me? I wasn't prepared, but okay, we'll pray. And when people say that, you should probably take that as an opportunity to pray with them right there. Because we've all been guilty, I'm sure. I know I've done it. People say, will you pray for me? Yes, I will. You forget. And you forget. Yeah, I'll pray for you. Yeah. And they say, oh, thank you. I really need that. And then we don't pray for them. If somebody asks you for prayer, it means they need prayer. You should pray for them. Right there. The biggest threat to your revival is your comfort zone. Sometimes that's the reason that we're looking for revival and we never see it. We think it happens at a church. So it can't be that God wants me to pray for somebody at Walmart. Can't be. It's not at church. The pastor's not here. I don't know what to do. Follow God. He'll teach you. He'll show you. If you make it up, then it's you. You shouldn't know what to do. It's the Holy Spirit. Let him lead you. Let him guide you. When you get comfortable where you're at, sometimes that's the hardest place to minister from, when you're comfortable. We don't want to do it at Walmart. Why? Because we need groceries and we got to get back home. We got things going on. That's comfortable for us. I need my groceries. I don't even have to get out of my car anymore. Well, what does that do? That forces somebody to come to you that might need prayer today. When they come up to your window and they ask if this pickup order is for you, yeah, is there anything you need today? And you know what? You'll probably get some no's. Happens all the time. If you serve in the food pantry, we offer to pray with people. Some people take you up on it, and they need you to pray for everything. Other people, no, I'm good. They roll the window up because you're creepy. No, I'm good. Thanks. I got to go. When you're comfortable and you decide, I don't want to do anything outside of this, then you're going to get the same results that you've always gotten inside of your little bubble. If you're always looking for revival, but you're scared to get uncomfortable with God, or you're scared to listen to God, or you're scared to be obedient to God, then you'll never see it. Why? Because you're going to get the same thing that you've always had, and that is not a revival. You're always looking for one. You have to step outside of that. Because the Bible says two things, which sometimes we think is contradictory. God says, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. I don't change. But then he also said, behold, I do a new thing. I do a new thing. Like, well, God, that doesn't make sense because you said you don't change. But then you say you're doing a new thing. And it kind of doesn't make sense at first. And then you realize, wait a minute, no, that does make sense. God doesn't change. Meaning, he is constantly doing a new thing. He doesn't know how to do the same thing twice. Why? Because it already worked. Why do it again? It didn't work. Why do it again? I don't have to do the same thing twice. I am constantly new every single day. Revival is not a one-time thing. We place too much weight and too much importance on a one-time encounter. We're going to show up to hear such and such speak, and it's going to be awesome. No, you should show up every day. Why? Because God says, behold, I do a new thing. Tomorrow's a new day, so there's a new thing you need to learn with me. I'm a new person, so you need to learn more. I've been made new, so you need to be made new. It's a new thing. Revival is going to be new for you. That's why it's revival. There is no end to revival. It's tomorrow. It's next Tuesday. It's next month. It's a constant revival. It's not a one-time occurrence. Anybody can be used by God one time, but the great people of faith, it was an everyday thing. It doesn't talk about the times where God told them to do something and they did it and that was how they learned. It talks about the times they did great things. But if you don't start with little things and you don't think little things can happen, you'll never do big things because you will not learn how to unleash revival inside of you, and you will stay in your comfort and the same thing that you've always seen, hoping someone else can make revival happen and you just ride in on it on accident. Unleash revival. It's your choice. It is your choice. It is your choice. It's your choice. What are you going to do? What are you going to choose? Unleash revival. It needs to happen. I don't even think that needs an explanation. It needs to happen. Look at everything that you guys can see just in the world right now, what's going on. Everyone needs God. And they need to understand who he is, and they need truth. There's been enough of this. Well, come to church with me, and we'll learn how one church looks at this, and that's what we'll believe. No, what does Jesus say? That's what I believe. I don't believe what some other man says. I don't believe what some church says. I believe what the Bible says. I believe what God says. I believe what he tells me in my heart. I know that I have conviction to know that what I believe is what I believe, and there's no way you can talk me out of it. If I believe it, I believe it. There is no halfway. You either do or you don't. You unleash revival or you don't. You move on to something new or you don't. That's it. There is no middle ground. I'll just wait on it to happen. I'm tired of waiting. I'm tired of waiting. I want to see a generation of young people that are tired of waiting. Because their friends at school are dealing with things that most of us that have already been through school didn't even start dealing with. Or maybe we didn't start dealing with it until later. They need Jesus in schools. It's got to happen. But with no example, we can't expect them to go where they don't know. We have to be an example. We have to learn. You have to learn. As a young person in school, you have to learn from the example, which is Jesus. Get into your word. Get into your word. Find out who he is. Take that to school with you. That's what you need. Unleash revival at your school. It can start with just a spark. That's all it needs. It's like a fire. If you keep feeding it, it keeps getting bigger. If you don't, it goes out. Plain and simple. There's no crazy revival equation. If you feed your spirit and plug into God, it gets bigger. If you don't, you burn out. It is exactly like a fire. If you feed it, it grows. If you don't, it dies. Sowing and reaping, it's a law. What you do, then you will reap. Start doing some new things. If you haven't had a good prayer life, well, now it's a new time. It's a new thing. It's a new thing. If you haven't been getting in the Word, start new. Sometimes we get caught up like, okay, I haven't been reading my Bible, God, so that means I need to read for like an hour for the next week. Well, if you haven't been reading, 1 minute is a lot better than you've been doing. I mean, we make it complicated. I'm serious. I'm trying to make this as simple as it can be. You don't have to get in your Bible for 17 hours a day and barely sleep and barely eat. And I can't talk to you. Got to talk to Jesus. You should be in tune with God. God, thank you for today. Show me what I need to do today. And when you ask him, guess what? He's going to show you. You may not like it, but that's not what you said. You said, God, show me. He'll show you. But you have to understand God. You can't talk to him if you don't know him. You can't hear him talk back to you if you don't know that he does that. So maybe you haven't heard from God. Why don't you start listening on purpose and not wait for like some big neon flashing sign that says, hey, this is God. It doesn't always happen. Sometimes God's not in the big things. He's in the little things. He wants to teach you when no one else is around because it's easier. That's the whole purpose of church. It's easier to do it with other people. We are all together to encourage and lift one another up. Why? Because this is the easiest place for you to learn how to unleash revival. Because when you leave, it doesn't get easier. It gets tougher because now you are the one that has to do it. It's not led by anyone else. You have to choose to lead it. So let's choose to lead it. Let's choose to lead it. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask that everybody stand up. Because I think I'm done. Cool, we made it out in less than 3 hours. That was good. Your kids can still go to school tomorrow. Still get you home in time for bed. Maybe. We'll see what happens. Unleashing revival. It's an action. It takes work. It doesn't happen on accident. And it's not going to just happen just because. You have to unlock it in your life every single day. You have to say, I want that. I want God to show up every day. I want that, meaning that I'm going to do something about it. If you just want something but never go after it, you'll never attain it. So let's go after it. So here's what we're going to do. I'm not going to ask you to come down here. I'm going to tell you that if you want to unleash revival, you need to be here right now. If you want to unleash revival, then you need to be here. It's not about a question. The question is Jesus asking you. If you want to unleash revival, this is where you need to be. It's not a magic carpet. It takes action. This is your first step towards revival. If you want to see revival, do something new. I don't leave my chair. Well, you need to do something new or you'll get the same results you've always gotten. So if you want to see revival, then unleash it. Unleash it. It doesn't start here. It starts in your heart. It starts with you saying yes to God. And it doesn't end here. It ends when you make it to heaven and God says, look what you did. Look what you did. You allowed me to show up in places that you went. You said yes. It don't have to be super weird and crowded. Just spread out. There's no magical place. It's cool. So if you want to see revival, then this is your choice. So I'm going to ask you to just raise your hands and we're going to talk to God just for just a minute or as long as you need.